Part 2. The ump said the battle was out, quickly stressed Key, not denying she'd trapped the ball. The ump was mistaken, right? Noted Tuli, dropping to one knee, then tugging on a few blades of grass. Key brought hands to hips. No one goes against the ump unless it'll help her team, she declared. Tuli didn't disagree. You're right. Sadly, even a professional player would never reveal the truth if it meant harming her team's chances of winning. But what's the nice thing to do? She asked. Key muffled her anger. Other than you, who cares? She questioned. You haven't had a chance to notice the players on the other team. They care, and just maybe a part of you cares, answered Tuli. After turning toward home plate, Key saw the other manager and the ump having a heated exchange. Behind their wrangling, the opposing players were shouting their disapproval. What the ump sees is what counts, again argued Key. I'm not sure what'll happen when we speak up, said Tuli. I am sure. Even teammates who know I didn't catch the ball for an out will be mad, insisted Key. Knowing is the big hitch, said Tuli. What do you mean? Asked Key. For me, knowing what happened amounts to knowing what's fair, explained Tuli. Key shook her head, then looked down. I'm keeping my mouth shut. Tuli took a chest-bulging breath. Okay, she replied before heading for Marge, who was continuing her toe-to-toe tiff with Tim, the other manager. Key didn't budge. Instead, she folded arms in frustration. Once within a few feet of the squabbling, Tuli interrupted. I had an excellent angle on the play, one that let me see the ball hit the ground before it ended up in Key's glove. Tim's team won the game. Marge felt ganged up on. Not you, Toe. Given you're a last-minute sum, you may not know my ruling is the one that matters. Fairness matters too, doesn't it? Asked Tuli. The kids need to know, without the decision-making power of the umps, the games will become one feud after another, insisted Marge. Shouldn't the kids first and foremost see fairness be valued? Countered Tuli. While the opposing team stood in amazement, Key's teammates became flustered. We won fair and square, said the pitcher for Key's team. Tuli hoped reviewing what had happened would help. Key's fantastic acrobatic catch and the split-second skid of the ball made it possible to think a game-ending out had been made. But that's not what happened, she sincerely noted. Have the guts to reverse your call, Marge, goaded Tim. Marge stepped within a few inches of Tuli, then spoke softly. The kids expect to be at odds with the ump, not their own manager. Are you sure you want your way? She checked. I want what's fair, respectfully said Tuli, looking up at Marge. Good thing you're just a fill-in, noted Marge. before turning to Tim and his team. "I'm reversing my decision. The Bluebirds won," she announced as she headed for the parking lot. Tuli turned toward the players of the opposing team. "Congratulations," she called out. "This is awful," fumed the mother, taking Key for pizza. As Key marched away in a huff, Tuli tried to be consoling. "Though not an out, it was still a great catch, Key. No one can take that away from you," she assured. Ignoring Tuli, Key approached Mara, the daughter of the irate mother. "Why didn't you tell your mother to ask my mom to take her place?" complained Mara. Key curled fingers into fists as she hung her head. "I didn't think to. My mother should have known an adult who rides a tricycle has to be screwy," she answered. Wanting others to hear her, especially Tuli, Mara brashly bellowed her belittling outrage. "We're missing out on playing in the championship game thanks to a tricycle-riding screwball!" Easily hearing the disparaging remark, Tuli turned away, then trudged across the field. Late that night, Key and Mara each grabbed a baseball bat, then snuck out of their homes, soon meeting by a large oak tree on the corner of the rooming house property. They skulked along the length of the lot, pausing behind tree trunks until making their way to the rear of the garage. "That's it, right?" asked Mara as they crept to Trulie's trike. Needing to take a moment to stifle a sudden twinge, Key hesitated, then answered, "Yes." A moment later, Mara raised her bat and kicked off the planned pummeling by smashing the toolbox on the back of the trike. "Take a swing," she then gleefully prodded. Wanting to please Mara and ready to release pent-up anger, Key brought her bat over her head, paused, then drove it down, chopping the trike's frame in half. "My turn," said Mara, anxious to again swing. Unknown by the girls, Birdie, who had brought a bag of trash to a bucket at the front of the garage, heard the bashing. After softly putting the bag down, he quietly made his way along the wall of the garage. Soon poking his head around the corner of the building, he saw his granddaughter and her accomplice battering Tuli's trike. While remaining out of sight, he shouted a warning, "Better scat fast!" Silence was immediate. Sure the girls had scampered, Birdie returned to the rooming house to give Tuli the bad news. Still awake, Tuli sat up in bed when she heard a knock.
"Who's there?"
"It's Birdie."
"Hey, Birdie, what's up?" asked Tuli. "I got shame I gotta share," he answered, with shoulders sagging.
After quickly dressing, Tuli opened the door and watched Bernie turn away to avoid eye contact.
"While dumping trash out back, I heard a racket. After making it to the back corner of the garage, I poked my head around long enough to see two young girls thumping your trike with bats. Come with me," he murmured.
Slogging toward the trike with Tuli, Birdie explained his shame.
"The moonlight made it possible for me to recognize one of the rampaging rascals."
Guessing
the girl Birdie knew was his granddaughter, Key, Tuli offered reassurance. I'm not going to tell anyone. Remaining mortified, Bernie nodded thanks. Soon viewing the ravaged trike, Tuli was taken aback by the vengeance that had been exacted. The trike had been reduced to a clump of shattered plastic. Unable to hold back tears, she knelt, then gripped the handlebar. Now that you see the damage, are you sure you don't want to tell the police? Asked Birdie. Yes, I'm sure. I also think it's best if you and I don't confront the girls, said Tuli. If that's what you want, muttered Birdie. It's what I want. Don't give up on Key, Birdie, requested Tuli. Shame don't fade fast when you feel you let a kid down, said Birdie, as he took out his handkerchief and dabbed dampened eyes. Tuli had a heartfelt question. Have you thought about making those squirrel dens I mentioned? She asked. How does someone who's just had her trike smashed get her mind on an old man making homes for critters? Wondered Birdie. My trike is a fixable object. You're a caring person, answered Tuli. Right now, my mind's on finding the pipe and fittings I got somewhere, said Birdie. Everything I need is in a usual plumbing aisle, assured Tuli. While bending to lift the trike's front wheel and seat, Birdie didn't notice the watch Key had given him fall from his vest pocket to the ground. When he straightened and started for the side door of the garage, he also didn't see Tuli pick up the watch, then slip it into her pocket before grabbing the rear wheels. I'll get a sack for your tools. We'll lock them and what's left of your trike in the garage. Then get to repairs first thing in the morning, planned Birdie. Thanks for your help, replied Tuli, following behind. Noon the next day, Key's mother went to her daughter's room holding an envelope. Please bring Tuli her pay. On my way back from the market, I saw her raking leaves at Jean Knowles' place. You can do it, fussed Key. I've got to bring some papers to my boss right away, explained the mother. But I'm busy, again resisted Key. I made a trip to the supermarket to make sure you had the food you like. The least you can do is make a short delivery, said the mother as she tossed the envelope on Key's bed. Thank Tuli for me. Tell her I said she was a godsend and to keep in touch. After watching her mother hurry off, Key reluctantly grabbed the envelope, then plodded from her room. Soon turning down her neighbor's driveway, Key saw Tuli hand-shoveling leaves into a large bag. Once at the back side of the house, Key was surprised to see a replica of Tuli's trike near the patio. Though the front wheel was missing some spokes, the frame and bin appeared repaired. Noticing Key gawk at the recently built trike, Tuli stopped what she was doing. My old trike took quite a pounding last night. Your granddad and I worked on this one this morning. What you up to? She asked. I'm delivering your pay, anxiously answered Key as she handed over the envelope. Tuli stuffed the delivery in her pants pocket without checking the amount.
"Please thank your mother,"
she requested.
"Who did it?"
asked Key, aware of the tremor in her voice.
"I suspect gals who suffered hurt after something I did," answered Tuli. "I don't understand,"
said Key while kicking some leaves.
"I turned a glorious win into a hurtful loss, remember?" explained Tuli. "Are you saying players on the softball team wreck your trike?" asked Key. "Just a guess," said Tuli with a shrug.
Key became more anxious.
"Who have you told?"
she asked.
"Your granddad and I don't intend on telling anyone," answered Tuli.
That wasn't what Key expected to hear.
"Don't you want whoever did it to be punished?" she wondered. "That's all being taken care of," said Tuli.
"Huh?" replied a baffled Key.
"We're always present when we're nice or not nice, aren't we?" asked Tuli.
"How's that punishment?" questioned Key.
"As I see it, people can't be unkind or unfair without thinking less of themselves. That's a big punishing loss, isn't it?" prodded Tuli. "Not if whoever did it thinks they got back at someone who deserved it," countered Key. "So, you believe it's okay not to be nice if you think it's what someone deserves," noted Tuli.
"It's getting even that gets people to stop being mean," snapped Key.
"But doesn't payback keep bringing about more payback until someone steps up by backing down?"
asked Tuli.
"Backing down is dumb. It's what wimps do. Everybody knows that,"
argued Key. Tuli remained calm.
"I know this will sound strange, but I consider myself fortunate. Though at first upset by what happened to my trike, I soon found something you said very useful," she noted.
"What are you talking about?"
grumbled Key.
"Yesterday, after I told you about my bicycle mishap with a fellow, you told me plenty of people don't freak out after having worse stuff happen. Remembering that helped me realize that much of my hurt could be healed by repairing the trike," shared Tuli.
"Why do you carry on about hurt?" griped Key.
"I've learned ignoring hurt stores it, and storing it turns it into sadness and anger. Isn't admitting we're hurt how we get healing underway?" posed Tuli.
Though less sure of herself, Key continued to disagree.
"Maybe the kids who beat on your trike weren't hurt. Maybe they were just really angry about the game," she contended.
"But where did all the anger come from?
Doesn't what you said apply? Don't people have worse stuff happen without them freaking out?" posed Tuli.
"How many times are you going to remind me I said that?" asked an irked Key.
"As I see it, payback is a way for people to pretend they're healing," suggested Tuli. "Adults get back at others all the time, but they only fuss when kids get even," argued Key.
That's often true,
agreed Thule. Key felt drained.
I gotta go.
Thule stepped toward Key.
Before you go, I have a favor to ask of you,
she noted as she reached into a pocket and pulled out Birdie's watch.
I have to rush to a job in another town when I finish here, so I can't return your granddad's watch to him. I believe it's a birthday gift from you. I need someone I trust to bring it to him. Please tell him it only needed a battery,
requested Thule as she held out the watch. Though initially caught off guard, Key resisted a desire to say yes.
I can't do what you want,
she claimed.
It would be a very helpful kindness, persisted Thule.
Clearly agitated, Key suddenly blurted something that surprised her.
You shouldn't trust me. But I do trust you,
assured Thule.
I'm not a nice person, declared Key.
Thule continued to hold out the watch.
Seeing your granddad tear up when he shared how much he misses the granddaughter he made birdhouses with makes it impossible for me to believe that. I doubt a day goes by that he doesn't wish for the chance to patch things up with you. Please, give the watch to him,
she pleaded, lifting the watch within inches of Key's hand. Key turned toward Thule's trike while wrapping arms around herself.
If handing it to him is too hard, you can put it in his mailbox,
suggested Thule, again trying to get Key to take the watch. After fidgeting, Key finally took the watch, then started to leave.
Thank your mother for me,
requested Thule. As soon as Key's mother got home from work, she went to her daughter's room for a talk.
Did Thule seem okay with how much I paid her?
She asked.
She put the envelope in her pocket without opening it. She said to tell you thanks,
relayed Key.
She's the one who deserves to be thanked. You thanked her for me, right?
I can't remember, said Key.
Darn it, Key, fussed the mother. We talked about other stuff,
shared Key.
Did you talk about the game?
Asked her mother.
No. She has her way of seeing it, and I have mine,
answered Key.
She seems like a good-hearted misfit to me. You're not still mad at her, are you?
Asked the mother.
It was just a game. I'm over it,
said Key.
After thinking more about what happened, I kinda see her point,
continued the mother.
Why can't you just stop talking about it?
Loudly reacted Key. Confused by Key's outburst, the mother sought an explanation.
What's going on with you?
Key exploded.
Just leave me alone,
she ordered before rushing from her room and out the front door. Not long afterwards, Key was standing on the sidewalk outside the rooming house with her grandfather's watch in her hand. Feeling unsure, she sighed while gazing at the front door, then turned to her left and stared at a tilted, decrepit, birdhouse-shaped mailbox.
Thule would say, I'm hiding hurt, I need to heal,
she told herself. Spotting his granddaughter at the end of the walkway, Birdie opened his front screen door shoved hands in pockets, and risked having Key walk away.
A newfound yearning for helping out squirrels got me to gather a fresh batch of scrap wood for making the critters' homes. While playing the radio music you like, I bet we each could have a none-like-it dandy den made by supper.
While looking into her grandfather's tired, pleading eyes, Key remembered how safe she had felt around him.
I like that, Granddad,
she softly replied while starting toward him.
I've missed you,
said Birdie, as tears of happiness dripped down cheeks.
I have something for you, something that reminded me how much I've missed you. Thule said it just needed a battery,
said Key while holding out the pocket watch. The end.